this out?
Okay.
So you've said $40 million is the anticipated cut, according to the governor's proposal. The JFC, Finance Committee, is starting to take up the budget now. What is your sense of what that cut would look like at this point, as well as the public authority model, now that those conversations are really underway at the state level?
Okay, so the size of the cut that we would anticipate is that we from everything we're seeing at UW system level, and this is reinforced by, we had three regents visit the campus yesterday, that 300, in fact, at UW system is more at about $350 or $351 million level. So for us, instead of being 20 a year or the 40 over the 2 years of buying the budget, would be $24 million per year. So that's the size of the budget, if nothing is softened, if nothing is mitigated. Now, depending on and what we're hearing, the latest that I'm hearing, and probably many of you are hearing, is that depending on the projected new revenue figures in late April, early May, there may be some additional funds, and that would be the starting point for helping mitigate those. That's not as comforting to me, because you're talking about if we get additional revenue, and then the question is, where would we be in that additional revenue stream? But that's what we're dealt, that's what we're working with, and so it's in that space that we want to get that down. And when people say, well, what would be reasonable? What I'm saying is, if we could get that, and many of the people advocating on our behalf, we're saying we would like that to be, if at all possible, closer to half of that. That would be ideal, or less. So $150 million instead of $350 million. That would be something that would still allow us, it would be a significant cut still, but that would allow us to continue to do the great things that we're doing for our students, for the community, for the families and organizations in Wisconsin. The public authority, I've seen, and I'm sure many of you have too, the headlines over even the last day and things that have been reported today. I think the legislators are now starting to look at that, but I think the UW system comes later in the budget cycle. But the preliminary comments, and I can't remember which legislator talking about it, but there still continue to be concerns about it. I have to tell you, there's concerns from a lot of people around the public authority because it's code for so many different things. Does it include shared governance? Does it include, you know, some of the faculty and academics have some of the protection there and academic freedom? And then some and other positions say, well, it continues to carry some of the same things that we wanted to see some changes with. So there's concern over that. Despite all the different perspectives and sides around what a public authority is it good or bad, I will continue to maintain from, I think, not just my perspective, but many of my colleagues in the UW system, we have long advocated for the desire for flexibilities, so we welcome those, and if a public authority does come, I would hope that it would continue to preserve the Chapter 36, some of the things that we find very valuable as we work on this. But boy, it's one that, I guess, if you know, just from my analyst perspective, the concept of the public authority doesn't seem to be very promising right now, just in terms of what I see legislators discussing with regard to that.
I'm going to have you keep your analyst down for a second. Can you talk about, as someone who looks at projections, and can you put a number, if the cut stays, you're saying $24 million a year, what that would mean for positions for layoffs if that had to occur?
So if we look at that level, what we've estimated internally is that we would be looking at 200 to 300 positions at UW-Milwaukee. And those 200 to 300 positions doesn't necessarily mean that they would be layoffs. We're looking at how many people from our voluntary separation incentive program participate in that, how much occurs through attrition and natural turnover. One of the challenges with that, though, is that that's not particularly strategic. Those just happen to be openings that are available. Well, we may have areas where we need to look at high growth, high need areas, or we may look at things that are so pivotal and so central to our research and student success mission that we actually have to preserve those areas and not allow any attrition and maybe have further cuts in other areas. But it's 200 to 300 positions at the current projection of 24. For you to have more.
Mark, the current conversation is the governor has said that he wants to cap tuition increases after 2 years, which we assume will be a tuition freeze. And if there's no additional state funding, we're basically looking at flat funding. You have a dual mission of access and research. How do you accomplish both of those with no more money?
Well, that's an important question, and that's the crux of it, isn't it, for all of us in the UW system. But in our particular case, we have higher costs because we have a remediation challenge. If 50% of your students at that level, that's you know where we're close to, that's comparable to a two-year school. Most of our colleagues in other four-year comprehensives are closer to 20%. So that's an immediate cost, and that's you know, and I can talk about the additional cost in terms of research and other things that I think you can appreciate. Given our mission, any budget cut is going to adversely affect that. But we have been dealing with this, and that's the question that for the last 15 years, with $32 million for the last 15 years in our base budget, that's something that we have been doing, but we're now at that tipping point, and we're going to have to make some harder decisions about what's preserved with respect to being able to continue and uphold those. Now, that may mean some programs that have to be consolidated. That may mean some areas of merger. I'd be happy to talk about some of the exploration we're having with other schools and colleges across UW's system. But even within our campus, as we look at the possibility of consolidation and mergers, and I'm delighted to see some of the folks that are really starting to think actively and very proactively about those types of ideas. And this is where I think the power of potential unifying themes on our campus is going to enable us to bring folks to work together in a collaborative way and come through some of the roadblocks that historically have existed on any campus where you have, do we give credit in this area when you take classes in another? And you run into some of these sometimes, from the outside, they seem like artificial roadblocks, but internally, there's turf and there's dollars that follow credits and things like that. So I think we have to punch through, we have to penetrate and overcome many of those, find ways to collaborate for efficiencies and effectiveness. And so I'm starting to see some great signs, and we're trying to nurture and encourage that. The challenge is, right now, we've got to find $24 million short-term, like as in July 1st. We have to be making decisions now, and those things that I talked about earlier, the two key areas that we'll see some savings from, the voluntary separation incentive and a tuition increase. The tuition increase comes next year. It doesn't affect things this year. The best-case scenario, financially speaking, for both of those would be up to $2 million, most likely, put it together. We're really estimating $2.5 to $3 million in cost savings. So that doesn't help you a whole lot. So we are going to have to do some deep diving right into the question that you asked. That's really the heart of this, and say, what are we not going to be able to do in the future? The challenge facing us is a strategic one. We can cut everything a little bit. Historically, the across-the-board approach that most campuses have done, or we can be strategic and say we're gonna have to cut more here and to allow and foster growth in some of the areas to continue to occur. So that's what we're going through right now is those types of activities. We've got a budget task force that is engaged. It's got faculty, staff, student, and leadership participation that is going through that. They meet weekly. They spent, I think their meeting today has gone on for, it was close to 2.5 hours when I left campus. So they are meeting intensively and really trying to engage others in that all-important conversation.
Can I ask a quick follow-up?
Sure.
There have been conversations about... There have been conversations about consolidation, regionalization, mergers. Can you talk a little bit about some of the things that are on the table in terms of academic programs? Not back office function, yeah. but academic programs.
Yeah. We haven't met yet. We're gathering... today. It's in 2 weeks. We're gathering the provosts and the chancellors together, which is where that discussion will occur. And at that point, following that, I'd be happy to talk with you further about possibilities, much like we did around the efficiency meetings with the chancellors and the chief budget officers, vice chancellors for finance and administrative affairs. We came away with a very explicit list from that. I would anticipate when the provosts and the chancellors get together, we will have many possibilities, many areas for potential collaborative programs to occur. I'm really excited about that meeting. I think that it could lay the foundation for us to begin looking at some of those programmatic opportunities that we really need to be looking at. There could be some great gains out there, and that could then lay the seeds for even greater collaboration in the future across our campuses that I think the public would expect and appreciate. It may involve more distance learning. It may involve more traveling and things like that by faculty, staff, and or students. But I think it's a good thing.
Well, that's a quick thing. Would it be just the four-year campuses, or is there a role for the other colleges to play?
Absolutely. Absolutely a role for both two-year and four-year. College and extension and the four-year comprehensive and research universities.
In addition to these budget cuts, what you're looking at most recently from the state is $147 million, I believe it is, in project requests for funding on Innovation Campus and elsewhere. What is the impact between these cuts and between them apparently rejecting that request for these ongoing big-ticket projects like the Innovation Campus?
Yeah. Well, we've got, to add that up, and Allison, thanks, you've done your homework, and you know the numbers well. The projects include our economic development initiatives that we have in and around the work that we've done at the Innovation Campus that has our purchase several years ago of about 88 acres that has established, first of all, the accelerator building. ABB is headquartered there. We're starting some long-term residential living facilities. We've got plans for the next expansion would be what we call the Integrated Research Center. And the request was a $75 million building that would house a number of, not just our faculty, but researchers from a number of different partner organizations, focused initially on biomedical engineering, biomedical research on a number of different fronts, but expanding well into other areas. So if that's curtailed, and we cannot get funding for our Northwest Quad, formerly Columbia St. Mary's, we call it Northwest Quad, that has 800,000 square feet that is absolutely necessary for eight of our schools and colleges over the next 20 to 30 years to be housed either temporarily in what we call surge space as we renovate their areas and or permanently. So, for example, our College of Nursing to be able to expand into a simulation and healthcare transformation area. That space that we have at a modest cost, relatively speaking, relative to building new, at $50 a square foot, for example, that's tremendously cheaper than new footage. So that's what part of that request is, our $61 million there. If that's impeded, if that's slowed down, just like if the Innovation Campus is slowed down, that puts the brakes on and slows our ability to advance all of the schools and colleges work in those areas. The third piece is our men's basketball, women's basketball practice facility that is pivotal for recruitment and frankly, even the retention and the profile and visibility of our basketball programs. It's really seen as one of those types of things that is going to help move us into the leading area of Horizon League. It's seen as one of the key and pivotal pieces. But it also is interesting because it's a project that is what we call PR support between gifts and seg fees. It's supported on our own. So to have that zeroed out is rather unusual. It just shows you how serious state government is about really trying to put a hold on a lot of the projects at this point. So we're trying to find ways. We've scaled back our requests in all those areas, and we're trying to go back at joint finance to try to get all three of those back into a budget in some way, because they are so pivotal to the region, to our progress in many areas. We also want to preserve for the next kind of budget, our next plan, which is around our need in the chemistry building area, which is really a huge challenge in terms of us being able to do the right things on research, student areas there. So that's why the capital budget this year has large long-term implications because of all the projects in behind it. If these get deferred, then everything else behind it gets deferred.
Okay, ask you about your men's basketball team. It wasn't that long ago that I did a story at the newly named Panther Arena. I think I was calling Tom as he was walking into the Lion King as we were discussing the possibility that that arena may be bulldozed. That's obviously not going to happen with the new Bucks announcement. With their announcement of $500 million in development down there, does UWM, especially with your newly named arena being down there, do you see the school being a part of any new development in downtown?
We have a wonderful relationship with the Bucks for a long time in the sports marketing arena. We want them to be successful, and we're tremendously excited because if you put the $500 million estimated arena with potentially $500 million in economic activity, that is going to really, really recharge Milwaukee in an important way. It's one of the biggest things that's happened in decades. And being somewhat close to some of the folks involved in those conversations, I'm optimistic and very excited for Milwaukee. The implications for us are at least twofold. One is not just the foot traffic and the visibility for our Panther Arena, and we all agree the sigh of relief. We never wanted to be in anybody's way on that, but we did want to preserve our Panther Arena. It's so important for us on a lot of fronts. But the partnership that we have with the Bucks could potentially expand into our work, especially in the water area, as they've talked about having an arena that is environmentally sustainable and friendly. One of the models is there's been some great discussion about being the bluest arena, and our School of Freshwater Sciences could play a great part in that. So I think that that's something that we have not just the research expertise, but some of our faculty and leadership have been involved in the School of Freshwater Sciences in other buildings in that particular area. And that's one of the things that this region has in a unique way through the Water Council, through the work that our School of Freshwater Science has done to really elevate our profile. And if we can get students and young people that are not at the college age more interested in water through a venue like that, it could be a great, powerful partnership. So that's some discussions that we've been having. We're underway.
Could you see the school renting out office space if a nice big office building goes in there for classroom or educational use?
I would say at this point, nothing's off the table. And the question of what kind of space, how might that be preferred, we haven't advanced down that path. We had, as recently as about 2 weeks ago, a very, very nice discussion about this. And we're now continuing. They're going to be putting forward some of the models. We're going to be responding and talking about a number of possibilities that could include that or other ways that we can showcase the great stuff that we're doing and really work with so many others in this area that I think that will be one of the themes that we'll see around the Bucks Arena.
Mark, can you please elaborate on UWM's role in the Rocket Tech project that was just announced? I understand that it's a partnership to improve math and science instruction. Considering that that's, access is a big part of your mission, and also considering the limited resources you have, who pays for that, and what does it look like, and what way are you helping them?
Yeah, thank you. This is something that has a little bit of history, and I don't know how many of you are familiar with it, but to answer that, I might need to just spend a moment on the fact that back in about 1999, 2000, and Steve pointed out Nancy Zimfer as one of our great chancellors. Nancy was very much involved in a lot of key partnerships, and it was on her watch that we signed an agreement called an intergovernmental agreement with MPS and MATC and with the Greater Milwaukee Committee, really helping shepherd a lot of the work behind this to establish us as really one of the three key anchors for that. It's important for us not just because of the pipeline of students that, for example, over the last decade, we've had 120 students from Bradley Tech that have gone into UWM. We'd like to see that number 3, 4, 5 times that. But recognizing that it's for the trades and the profession, the work that's so necessary today in construction trades and automotive and so many other areas, it's essential to help support, in our view, Bradley Tech because of its role and mission, the importance that it's had historically. It's part of really the larger partnership that we have within CUBE that I referred to earlier. The specific things that UWM brings to that partnership, though, is the commitment that we have to bring a lot of our campus's resources, to your point about budget, with existing resources that we have. So we will have our Dean of the School of Education, our new Dean, Alan Choho, he will be the UWM representative ongoing. So we'll have commitment that we have not had on the commission. In the better part of the last decade, we have been not actively present. So we'll be committed in that area. And when I've talked with Alan, and he, even before he arrived here, we've had a lot of discussion with him about Bradley Tech. I've been keeping him involved in all the discussions. He's been, from afar, very much involved. And we talked even yesterday about all the different areas that we have on our campus that can contribute. So we're leading the UW system and have presented to the Board of Regents the stuff we're doing around math developmental pathways. And how we teach math is pivotal. So we've been sharing with two-year colleges and other K-12 systems, how the approach to math pathways can be enhanced and improved, bringing that type of idea to Bradley Tech in the partnership that we have with MATC and MPS. Work in our School of Freshwater Sciences, given the geographic location, what we can do in terms of hosting students from Bradley Tech and vice versa, having our faculty and our students spend time in the school. If you think about the tracks you're talking about there around technology, what could be better is we want to establish Milwaukee, recognized nationally and globally as a water technology hub, with Bradley Tech right in our backyard, and other examples around in terms of the partnerships that we should and could have on the curriculum side, on the pedagogy, how we bring the science of learning, given our research focus, improve areas there. We see it as a very pragmatic first step forward for the MQ group to work together on something that is so highly visible, and frankly hasn't delivered over the past at least decade what it could do. And we're tremendously excited to work with MPS and MATC on this and other initiatives. And it's an example of the importance of that pipeline and what a difference it can make for the community if we can increase the success of the students, putting the kids first at the K-12 level, and then as they become an adult into the 2- and 4-year systems in the area. And I don't have any priors on it. They have to come to UWM. I'm as happy if they go on to higher ed anywhere. It's just, let's get the students to a graduation success rate and bring what we can. I'm personally committed to it, and I will continue to maintain all the different areas of support and be in close contact on how this one proceeds.
But it will all be with existing resources.
Yes, I don't see at this point, and that's one of the discussions we'll have in the future, much like in the Cube. We are actually, as we're charting out our goals and specific activities that we'll be working on, we are assembling teams that are looking at, around the goal areas, what can we do with existing resources, and then separate columns of what could we do if we had additional resources, and then you can imagine what the next column is, so where are we going to get those? Because we're all in the same boat. I mean, you know, it's K-12 and higher ed that are all facing significant financial challenges, and it's not just in southeastern Wisconsin, it's really across the state, and frankly, I think we're seeing a lot of the challenges nationally in terms of a lot of education areas. So how do we use our resources that we have better? How do we raise new ones if we can identify the concrete, accountable mechanisms that would give people faith to continue to invest? I do have to say, with respect to Bradley Tech, one of the other reasons why we want to do this and what else I think we can bring is that as I visit with my great colleagues at Harley-Davidson, Johnson Controls, or Rockwell, we have partnerships, as I mentioned earlier, across the board with so many organizations. They have a vested interest in Bradley Tech. They, when they hear what we're doing, they want to hear, they want to follow up. I've had multiple conversations this week where people who have either been current investors or past investors, they are quite interested in that pipeline initiative because it's so vital to them. And that's another thing that contributes to our partnership, and it works both ways. They see us as credible in helping, it helps them, and then they're more likely to support us. So it's this virtuous cycle, like I describe it as.
I just given up on the microphone.
Okay.
If you can't hear me, let me know. I was talking to Dr. Driver, one of the Bradley Tech announcements, was it yesterday? And she mentioned that this collaboration, MATC, UWM, MPS, and MQ.
Yes.
Right. This is kind of the first step in several for those three. What comes next for the group? This is obviously has been the priority to start with. Where do you guys go from here?
Yeah, so the first thing I think that's important is to recognize that we've got new leadership in each of our institutions. And it's leadership that's committed, leadership that has taken an oath to support each other. And that's the foundation. And given that and the trust and the work that we've done, that actually precedes Bradley Tech. When we first ran our interim roles last year, we talked about this because with our predecessors having a good working relationship in many ways, we wanted to build on that but make it tangible and really focus on the educational issues, the challenges facing not just MPS, not just MATC or UWM, really the larger educational ecosystem, if I can use that academic sounding word. If I can talk about that in that context and mention that, you know, there's at least 120,000 K-12 students, maybe a few more across the whole landscape. MPS, the population there is 70,000 to 80,000, roughly two-thirds of the students. That's a big, big, big piece of this. UWM, large, MATC, large, we're respectively the largest. If you think about the importance of that, if we don't have our act together, if we don't work collaboratively, the whole region really suffers is a modest word, more strongly is at risk. Maybe again, maybe I don't want to sound hyperbolic, but if we cannot work effectively together, it's a disadvantage significantly for this region. If you think about when I talk with business leaders and their concerns about the future, where is the talent going to come from? Where should they locate or relocate? Why should companies come here? Wow, if we can identify clusters and really have great alignment around those types of things and prepare students for work in those areas, how useful and powerful that would be. So next steps for us is we're working on specific goals and areas that are not fleshed out well enough around retention and pipeline issues, but let me give you kind of a snapshot of the two different areas we have fallen into. One of them is what I call the mechanistic, the pieces that deal with structure. Things such as our agreements that we have, articulation agreements, and specific programs that we have, such as Panther Tracks at MNTC. Panther Tracks is a program where we have an early admission process where students identify early on at MNTC, and if they keep their grades at a certain level, they're automatically accepted upon graduation from MNTC. Many more programs like that can be and need to be established with MPS to MNTC and UWM. Does every single school have an advisor, have a sponsor, have somebody from UWM and MNTC? Do we have regular open houses? Do we have agreements so that all the advisors at the high school level know how to get into UWM, get into MNTC? Those are what I call, again, mechanical. Do we have the right people in the right places? Do we have signed agreements? The other piece of this is the cultural. What are we doing to foster the importance of academic success in our respective institutions? How do we start at a junior high or elementary school level? The importance of test taking lines you up for careers, lines you up for success to go on to college. That mentoring, that type of access to the resources that we share and the common interest that we have in the students in the pipeline is critical. This is where the School of Freshwater Science comes back into play. When we have students from any school, middle school or high school, that come to our school or vice versa, and we've done over 30 of those types of visits, mutually both ways, kids can't get their hands off the steering wheel of the boat. They can't get out of it. This is fascinating stuff. But at the early age, if we can expose people to fields, you know, careers in research, careers in the technologies that are there, and many other areas of UWM, if you bring the array of possibilities that we have, without new resources, with really existing resources, I think we can do some great things. But those are the cultural attributes. Those are the cultural things that are different than can we line up, as I mentioned in my comments, with Aurora and the Medical College, those examples of pipelines, those come with resources oftentimes and grants that are available from other organizations that want to help reinforce that. So part of our Vision 2020 capital campaign is also to find additional resources and fundraising through scholarships or other partnerships that would help with that as well around research and student success. So we're really excited. Don't have more concrete specifics, but those are being developed. And we look forward, both in the summer and fall especially, to be unveiling and talking more concretely about what we're doing together.
With that, we'll take questions from the audience. Please.
I ask this as a former student body president at UW.
Oh, great.
Probably before you were born. There's some lawsuits about student government, previous student governments challenging certain legal actions by the university, and I'm just wondering what's going on with those.
Yeah, I think that I don't know the specifics and the details of all of them. I know that several of them have been put on hold or dismissed. I don't know how many are active at this point, but I think there's two individuals that have continued to bring up some suits and activities that I really don't know the details on. Yeah, I can tell you today, with our student government, the processes and the activities seem to be working very, very well. I've been in the role for a year as interim, and in December was named as the ninth chancellor. And in my time, we've had great representation, good access. The student government has been very involved, and everything I've seen has worked really well. So, yeah.
Dorothy?
Providing any kind of outplacement services for the faculty who will be losing their jobs?
The faculty that would be losing their jobs, and what we see right now with the voluntary separation incentive program, for the most part, those would be retirements. That's the approach. And I don't know if in the details that we have been talking about, the outplacement services or career guidance and things like that, if we do go into a layoff situation, I'd like to provide those and provide support for that. But we haven't gotten to that point yet. I'd have to have more discussion with our budget task force and things, but that would be the right thing to do.
Time for one more,
huh? Yeah, we all lament budget cuts, but can you discuss any initiatives that you're taking to improve the effectiveness, the efficiency of school? In other words, reduce costs without hurting service.
Yeah, thank you. We have been working on that in many ways over the last 15 years to look at how we can lean things out. And to show you the progress that we've made on that, we have both compared internally to other shops, other campuses nationally, in terms of what are the benchmarks for efficiency and how lean we are. We're among the very leanest. For research universities, we're 12th among 200 research universities for being the most lean. That's from the Goldwater Institute report. We really have worked on that. Now, we have to go further. We really want to do everything we can to protect the student experience. The last thing we want to have is faculty affected or student teaching aides, tutors, and things like that. So we'll continue to look at those things that don't affect the student success experience. That has to be protected in as many ways as we can. The most promising thing that we're doing right now that will save, in our opinion, some of the most significant sums would be the collaboration that we're doing with other UW system institutions for us to work on back-of-the-house types of activities. Those would include, right now, we're looking at HR and procurement. So if we can achieve cost savings through those, that's another major area for potentially millions of dollars across our institutions. Those we're eagerly pursuing and driven by our financial officers. Down the road, other activities are going to come from, I believe, some of our internal consolidation, where we bring units together to work in a collaborative manner. We don't have as much administrative duplication. So we have to look at that, and I think what your question is hinting at, and what I feel, is this is a new era, and how do we protect in that new era, rather than cutting everybody a little bit, how do we make some decisions that allow us to protect and preserve our research, our student success, and community engagement, while being leaner, while really trimming where we can. But I come back to the great things that we are doing, and the great things that we're doing. The leveraging factor, the state gets, just as an example, throw this out there to talk about return on investment. The state pays about 18% of the UW system budget. That's because we're talking about in terms of the support for the system. So of that 18%, they get a tremendous payback. If you think about our budget, 18% of it, and then we have a $705 million overall budget, $525-ish for operating budget, $525 million. That's hugely leveraging that. It really is a great payback. And we have to find ways to continue to build on that investment and continue adding great value to that. So we're very keen, very focused on the mission.
Well, we'd like to have you back as you go on this journey. Thank you, media panel, and thank you, everybody, for being here today.